Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the whole, let's face it, the coronavirus pandemic has been a pretty horrible ordeal. But if there was one good thing to come out of it, it's that for a short time, at least, Wilmington got a drive-in movie theater back. From the summer of 2020 until early this year, the Wilmington Drive-In was out at UNCW in the parking lot of Keenan Auditorium. Operated by the Office of Cultural Arts, with assistance from Kukulorus and support from the Star News and WHQR Public Radio, we screened about a movie every week for close to 9 months. I even saw 9 or 10 of them with my 9-year-old son and his teenage sibling, and it gave us some much-needed screen time away from the home where we were stuck for over a year, which is, you know, where most of our screen time took place. But you know what? It wasn't so long ago that Wilmington was home to multiple drive-ins. Most of them operated between the late 40s and the early 80s. And then there was one point in the late 50s or early 60s when there might have been as many as 5 drive-ins in Wilmington operating at the same time. And that's going to be our topic this week, bygone movie theaters in the Wilmington area, with a special focus on drive-ins. This is Cape Fear Unearthed, the podcast exploring the legends, historical oddities, and landmark stories of southeastern North Carolina. I'm your host, John Staton, and I'm a reporter with the Star News here in Wilmington. We're a Gannett paper that's part of the USA Today network. The first proper drive-in theater in Wilmington I can find a record of, it was most likely the Carolina Drive-In, which William Thrush opened on Carolina Beach Road near Monkey Junction in 1947. That's according to Thrush's 1997 obituary in the Star News. Thrush also opened another popular drive-in theater, the Parkview, that was on Oleander Drive near Floral Parkway in 1949. Probably the best two known Wilmington drive-ins of all time were located right across the street from each other on Carolina Beach Road. There was the Skyline Drive-In Theater, which was kind of notorious. It showed racy and even some X-rated movies back in the day. And then there was the Starway, which is located where the Starway Flea Market is now. That's probably the longest-running Wilmington drive-in, which it operated from 1952 to 1984. They were going to even reopen the Starway in 1996, but that got scrapped when the Wilmington City Council voted it down. They basically voted against changing the rules to allow it to operate later than 11 o'clock. So that drive-in never came back. There was also a North 17 drive-in on Market Street. There was a drive-in theater called the Wrightsville Road, which was located not on Wrightsville Avenue, but Oleander Drive. And one of my favorite movie stories of Wilmington history is, you know, it's not technically a drive-in, but back in the 20s, the old Lumina Entertainment Complex at Wrightsville Beach, they were famous for showing films on a screen that was mounted in the surf so that people could actually watch a movie projected over the waves. I mean, how cool is that? These days, you know, Wilmington, we have our 3 multiplexes and a total of more than 40 screens. But for most of Wilmington's history, there were multiple, mostly one-screen movie theaters located all over town. Many, if not most, were downtown. Back in 2002, my colleague Ben Steelman, who's technically retired, but he still freelances for the Star News, he wrote a story about old Wilmington movie theaters, and I'll post a link to it on Facebook and in the story I do for this podcast. Ben said the first public film screening in Wilmington he can find a record of was at Thelian Hall back in 1897, which was an Edison projectoscope program, which I'm not exactly sure that was, but it was, you know, basically an early silent film. Ben remembers, as do I, when the old Bailey Theater was more than a facade on Front Street. The Bailey opened on December 23rd, 1940. Tickets were 40 cents for regular shows, 30 cents for matinees. I remember seeing a Godzilla film there back in 79 or 80 when I was about 10 years old. 1980 is the year the Bailey closed, actually. this is a great, there's a good urban legend about the basement of the Old Bailey. Now that the site where the Bailey was has been paved over, and there's a, like I said, an urban legend that that basement still holds some treasures like old movie reels or posters. You know, no idea if that's true, but let's just hope that it is. Story for another episode, maybe. Another movie theater downtown was the Manor on 2nd. I'm sorry, but on Market between 2nd and 3rd. And they used to show Disney movies there. Old ones, new releases. I remember seeing The Sound of Music there, you know, as a kid. The Manor had the iconic logo on the side of the building, but you can't see the side of the building now because they've built a new building next to it. The Manor closed in the 80s, but it's been a bunch of things over the years since then. It's currently vacant. Another notable downtown theater was the Bijou, whose words are still spelled out in the tile on Front Street, on the pavement between Chestnut and Grace. It's called Bijou Park today, and leads, you can walk through there now to get to River Place. But back in the day, it was the first permanent motion picture theater in the state of North Carolina, and perhaps in all the South. According to Ben's story, from 2002, the Bijou was the brainchild of two former circus performers named James F. Foxy Howard and Percy W. Wells. Percy liked to call himself the Great Persino, apparently. They leased the site in 1906, put up an old canvas tent, and started showing basically slideshows and then later silent movies. I guess they were successful because in 1912, May 30th, 1912, Bijou building, the actual theater opened up there. It had mirrored doors, it had tiled floors. There was a player piano in the lobby. And it survived for over 50 years. Well, showed movies for over 40 years before closing in 56 and was torn down in 63. And they showed a lot of westerns and serials. That was kind of their bread and butter at the Bijou. There was another theater downtown called various times the Colony and the Carolina. That was around 2nd and Market Streets. And of course, you know, and sadly, Wilmington was a segregated city in those days. The Bailey on Front Street, there was separate seating in the balcony for black patrons. And there was also a theater on North 4th Street called the Ritz that catered to black audiences. I mentioned the movies in the Surf at Lumina, but Wrightsville Beach also had an indoor theater, The Crest. Now, it was later known as a gym, also called The Crest. And they showed movies there in the 50s and 60s. So I'm told sometimes there'd be foreign films, Fellini, stuff like that. And we're not even going to have time to get into all the many, many movie theaters of Wilmington's more recent history. You know, Longleaf Mall, Independence Mall, you know, cinemas, the New Center Drive cinemas, College Road, and that's just to name a few. There have been a bunch over the years. But for this episode, we're going to talk about some of the older movie theaters and drive-ins, and my guest for this episode of Cape Fear Unearthed is a Wilmington native who saw movies at a lot of these locations that I've mentioned so far. Ann Hedeman, she knows a lot of Wilmington history in general, and she was kind enough to sit down with me recently to talk about some of these bygone places of local history. So I am sitting here with Miss Ann Hedeman. We are in her home, and she is a Wilmington native and has lived in Wilmington a very long time and remembers a lot of these old drive-in movie theaters and Wilmington movie theaters. Well, thank you for being with us on Cape Fear Unearthed. Well, and so I was doing some research, and the earliest record of a drive-in that I can found in Wilmington that you said that you don't remember, but this is back in the 40s. They said there was a Carolina drive-in around Monkey Junction.
I don't remember that one.
And that one may not have lasted long. But one that you were telling me about that you do remember was called the Park View, and that was on Oleander Drive right around where Floral Parkway is, right?
Right, where Office Depot and Books A Million are. Okay. That's where that whole area was the drive-in.
Wow, and that was a drive-in theater. And then was it popular? Did they get a lot of people?
Oh, yes. That was probably the most popular because it was the closest into town.
Yeah.
And I remember going there and saw Francis the Talking Mule.
Wow.
And it was a lot like Mr. Ed that used to be on on television.
Wow.
That was an antecedent of that.
Yeah, and that's and so who would go to the drive-ins back then? I mean, families, or couples or just anyone, right?
Well, of course, there were families. Yeah. And then, of course, the teenagers loved it.
Yeah. Now, what else do you remember seeing there? That was you said Francis the Talking Mule. What else do you remember seeing there?
I don't remember the names of them, but... Yeah. They were, you know, the drive-ins never had first-run movies. They were always second-run movies.
Interesting,
if you missed them downtown, you could go to a drive-in.
Okay, and then would it be a little cheaper than, your indoor theater?
I guess so.
Yeah, no, that's interesting because, we had this past summer because of COVID, all the theaters were closed. So we had, they were doing the drive-in out at UNCW. And that was kind of it was maybe a throwback to, the way things used to be.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and then so then you said, I guess, some of the more recent ones were, I do remember the Skyline and the Starway were both on Carolina Beach Road.
They were right, as I recall, they were right across the road from each other.
Yeah.
And I think the Starway is still, isn't that
it's a flea market now, but yeah, they don't have, yeah. And you know what, and they were trying to restart the theater there, I guess, I don't know, 20 or so years ago, but they weren't able to do it. But that's interesting because they were right. So they were two drive-ins right across the street from each other.
That's as I recall it.
Yeah. No, that's that's what I remember as well. And then and you said there was another one on Oleander, although it was called the Wrightsville Road. It was on Oleander Drive, kind of out toward the beach past College Road.
Yes, it was down there. There's a doctor's office there now on that property.
Yeah.
And then later, after the drive-in was no more, Cardinal Lane's Bowling.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where that is. Yeah, there's a bowling alley there. Okay, so that's where the theater was, the Wrightsville Road.
Interesting.
So what was it like? I mean, I guess they would have concessions and stuff like that.
Yes, they would. You got out of your car and went to a central office-like place, and they would sell drinks, Coca-Cola, nothing hard,
just
Coca-Cola, and they would have potato chips and nabs and that type of thing.
And then you would have the sound. You had a little speaker by your car. Is that how it worked?
They had poles all over the lot, and the speakers were hanging on the poles, and you would park near one of those speakers and put it in the window, and roll the window up. We didn't have windows like we do now.
Interesting. So you would actually bring this, you would pull the speaker into the car.
That's right. And it had a wire and you put it on the window.
That's wild. Yeah, I didn't know that. Because, now the way we did it this past summer was, they have a little shortwave radio and you just tune right into it, but back then they didn't have that.
No,
that's it. That's fascinating. And then I'd always heard, my dad said he remembers one. Maybe this one didn't last too long either. The North 17 was on Market Street, I guess, near North 17 Shopping Center. You said that you don't remember that one.
I don't recall that one. I don't.
That is one that my dad said he vaguely remembers, but my guess is that it didn't last long because. Yeah, and then this is, you had a really good story for me earlier about the, this was well before your day, but the Lumina down at Wrightsville Beach, with the famous kind of dance hall.
May I correct you?
Okay.
Nobody in town calls it the Lumina.
Okay, all right.
It is Lumina.
Just Lumina, all right. Lumina down at Wrightsville Beach. And you said that your mom remembers when they had... they had a screen out in the ocean, right?
Right,
and they would actually project movies on that screen.
Right. They had it was right there in front of where Lumina was.
Yeah.
And they would project movies. And, of course, they were silent movies. So the sound really didn't matter.
Right, right.
And she remembered going on Sunday afternoons.
Okay.
Of course, it had to be dark before they started. But, but then they would see the movies and then hop on the beach car to come back to town.
Wow. And it just seems like back in that, movies, it's like, they're so much easier to see. People watch a movie every night sometimes, but it seems like back then it was much more of a maybe a special occasion.
Oh, it was. And I mean, you know, that was a lot of, that was an entertainment type thing at night. And you would go maybe to have an early supper and then go to the movies.
Yeah. Now, that is fascinating to think about, you know, because now it's just, you know, you can watch it whenever you want. Right. You know, you can stop it and start it back later. Mm-hmm. But back then, you know, it's... You know, it seems like it was more special you know, you had to be there at that time when it was shown or you wouldn't see it.
Yes, that's true. It was a special occasion.
Yeah.
And of course, many people, when I was growing up, remembered the old silent pictures, too.
Yeah, wow.
And they were marveled at the fact that there was sound.
Yeah, because that was, you know, early in the 20th century, it wasn't, you know, I guess, like you said, that your mom used to grow up watching silent movies.
Well, I believe, and I'm not sure about this date, but I think 1929 was the first talkie.
Right, and your mom is, well she was from Wilmington as well, right? When was she born? When was your mom born?
1907.
Wow. Yeah, so she definitely grew up in the time of silent movies. Uh-huh. So she didn't get to, I guess, see a talkie, really, until she was a young adult.
That's right. She was over 20 when she...
That is. Well, yeah. So we're talking a lot about drive-ins, and you know, it's kind of I just thought it was kind of fun that, you know, that was maybe one of the good things to come out of the pandemic, is that we got a drive-in back. But you know, who knows when they'll come back? Now that everything is kind of going back to normal, but I thought it was just kind of a fun kind of a thing to, you know, just a throwback to look at, you know, because there used to be so many, you know. Now we were talking about there used to be, now there's maybe two or three theaters in Wilmington. The whole town, there used to be so many, not just the drive-ins, but there were, you know...
Well, downtown, there was the Bijou was the first theater here.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first in North Carolina.
Yeah, and that was older than I thought it was, because it dates back to, I mean, the early 1900s is when that first started.
About 1910, 12, something like that.
Yeah.
And they used to... Westerns were their specialty.
Yeah.
And also, my mother also remembered going down there to see The Perils of Pauline.
And what was The Perils of Pauline?
Well, that was a series, like a soap opera, we would call it nowadays.
Okay.
And poor Pauline would get in these terrible, terrible sights, and then they would leave it as a cliffhanger, and they'd have to go back the next week to find out what happened.
Yeah, that's
I do not remember those.
No, that's funny, but you know what? We still have the term cliffhanger because they still do a lot of, that's interestingly enough, they still do a lot of these series that way, because my son, he's 9, he hates when they have the cliffhanger, because then he's like worried. He wants to watch the next one right away. He's like, no. He's like, not another cliffhanger. But that's how they keep you coming back, I guess. They still do that.
And then the next one on Front Street coming toward Market was the Royal Theater.
You know, that one I was not familiar with, the Royal. And you said that was, people probably remember the Orton Hotel, which was, I think, the 200 block in North Front.
Uh-huh.
But you said the Royal was right next to that? Or?
It was in that block.
In that block. Okay.
And, of course, the Orton Hotel burned down in, I think, about 1948, 49, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was one of the buildings that was completely destroyed.
Yeah, that is interesting. And you told me about that. You remember as a child going down there, you said there wasn't like a lot going on in Wilmington back in those days. So if there was a fire, people would go and watch it.
Yeah, you watched all the fires. And I stood in Post Office Alley and watched the... Well, we were quite a ways back, but that and left standing were the front bricks of the building, and a couple of days later, the fire department went down there and knocked those down so it wouldn't hurt people.
Yeah, there used to be. I mean, there's still fires, obviously, and there used to be a lot more. It seems like I know we lost a lot of buildings in Wilmington from the. We talked about Hemingway Hall a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was the anniversary, but there's a lot of history that was lost in this town.
Well, of course, being a port city and so many downtown spark would and of course most of the buildings in the early days were wooden, and of course we had volunteer fire departments that until about 1898
wow. That is fascinating. And then let's talk a little bit more about, there were several theaters downtown.
Right.
Two I remember from, I'm 51, but as a young child, I remember going to the Manor to see, like, Disney movies. Mm-hmm. The Manor was over there on
Market Street,
about 100 block of Market. Mm-hmm. And then I also remember the Bailey, which I think was older than the Manor.
The Bailey thing was, I do know that was opened in 1940.
Yeah.
And that was a very classy theater.
Yeah.
That was like the ones in, you know, the one in Atlanta. And, it was quite nice. Art Deco.
Yeah. The facade is still up
the
there.
The facade is still there. And Mr. Gus Grist was the manager of the Bailey. And he would always, when you go at night, he would always be in the foyer greeting people and asking how they liked the movies.
Yeah.
And they had first-run movies.
Right, right.
And they had a concession stand, popcorn, and so on.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit about, because, you know, it opened up in the days of segregation, and I've had people tell me, you know, black people from Wilmington, that, you know, the black people sat in a separate section. And you said that you remember there was a separate entrance for blacks at that time.
That's one of my black friends told me that when she went, she would enter through the alley that was next to, I don't know what that alley is. I think it's Toomer Alley.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And they had an entrance that they would go in.
Yeah. Well, that was a different day, you know, and that's you know, thankfully things have progressed beyond that. And I remember the Bailey being, you know, I guess when I was a child, you know, we'd have days off from school and they would pass out these little free movie tickets, and they would have special movies. And if you had a work day, so I guess, you know.
And the admission at the time was 9 cents for children under 12.
Wow.
And so my mother and daddy would give me a 25 cents, and I could go with 9 cents, and then I could get a drink and maybe a name or two.
That's amazing. No, I remember as a young child, the Bailey was pretty old by that point. It was maybe 40 years old, and it was getting a little shabby, and I remember watching some crazy Godzilla movie or something.
Well, in the old days, they were not allowed that.
Right. Well, and then, but now you said that you remember the Bijou kind of getting run down at some point.
By the time I was growing up, it was not first run. They only had Westerns. And not that Westerns are bad, but.
Right. Well, you know. But you said, but it was an older theater at that time. And then, and let's talk a little bit about the, speaking of segregation, you said there was a theater called the Ritz on North 4th Street.
That's correct.
That showed movies for mainly black audiences.
That's correct. And that's the way I remember it.
I've heard that as well. And I think that's on the corner of 2nd and Market. It used to be called the Carolina Theater, and then it was the Colony at some point.
First, I knew it as the Carolina Theater.
Okay.
And I remember going as a child, and I couldn't have been more than, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old. And they had a vaudeville.
Okay.
Vaudeville was done there.
Yeah.
And I remember a man tap dancing.
Wow. And then later, they would also show movies there.
Oh, they would show movies.
Okay.
But then during the intermission, or after the movie, then between movies, they would have this vaudeville act.
Interesting. What do you remember, just as far as some of these theaters, what do you remember some of them, you know, looking like, being like? I know it's been a long time, but what are some of your memories from some of these, you know, theaters downtown?
Well, as I said, the vaudeville act there.
Yeah.
And I was a little girl then. Yeah. And my aunt took me to that, and we watched the dancing.
Yeah.
And it was not as, I don't remember it being quite as uptown as the Bailey.
Right.
But it was not right on the corner of 2nd and Market.
Okay.
It was about one building over.
Okay, all right.
And
then what happened to that? Did that burn, or did that just torn down at some point?
After television came in, we had very few it hit the business. It hit the film business.
Yeah, that is interesting, yeah, because that was, I guess, really the 50s and 60s when television became...
Right, right. Well, we didn't have a television station here until 54.
Yeah, oh, wow.
So, you know, and we did have a television set, and we had a big, huge antenna that you had to turn around and around in the backyard.
Yeah.
And it was... the closest stations that we could get was the one in Greenville,
right,
and one in Charlotte. They had one, and one in Charleston. And if the snow, you had could see the figures, that was a good night.
That's good. Well, and then let's talk even outside of Wilmington. There were, I mean, like we said, there used to be, you know, a dozen or more theaters in Wilmington. There was. This one, I don't recall, but you said there was one called The Crest at Riceville Beach.
That's correct. Now, that was also second run thing, and they would only operate at one point in the summertime.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And I think later, maybe the early 60s it started, but that was a second run.
Yeah, you said that was kind of near Station 1 or between Station 1 and Johnny Mercer's Pier?
It was closer to Station 1. It was in about the second block.
You know, I wonder if it's in the building where the Crest, like the fitness club, there's a fitness club.
That's where
it
is.
Well, that makes sense. Well, so that was probably a pretty small theater, because that's not a huge building for a movie theater.
Well, no, it wasn't quite really big.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, no, that's just and there was, well, you know, I remember, you know, this is a lot more recent history, but, you know, there were theaters all over town when I was a child, you know, mm-hmm. Oleander Drive, now it's a bank, and mm-hmm. New Center, and Longleaf Mall, and
then the ones over near, in 17th, 17th Shopping Center.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's just, it used to be... It was a different day. You know, now we've got, you know, we've got maybe three multiplexes right now, and they're all, you know, 10 or more screens. So, but that, you know, we maybe have about the same number of screens. Well, definitely have more screens, but, you know, just there's less physical locations, and it's just a...
Well, all of the theaters growing up had one screen.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they didn't know what multi-screen was.
Well, right. I wonder what I was trying to think what the first, they used to call them the duplex, was. It may have been at Longleaf Mall out there, because I remember that was two screens, and then the one at New Center was at least two or three screens.
Yeah, that was, and I remember those two. They were the most recent ones, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's see. And you said there was also one at... At Carolina Beach as well. There was a more recent one, but this was maybe even predates that one.
It was on the boardwalk. I do remember that.
Oh, wow. Now, okay.
I never went there, but I do remember them having a movie theater down there.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe one of these days we'll have a, you know, we'll get to have another drive-in, but not have a pandemic to do it. That would be nice. Ms. Hudeman, I really appreciate your time. And your willingness to talk to Kate Fear Unearthed about you know, these old days of movies and drive-ins. And
well, I always enjoy talking about Wilmington and its history. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. That's it for this episode of Kate Fear Unearthed and our look at the bygone movie theaters and drive-ins from Wilmington's past. I'll be back soon with another chapter of Wilmington history. Till then, make sure you're a member of our Facebook group, where listeners can ask questions about our episodes and share their own memories of the region's history. In that group, I post extra content from each episode and links to all my coverage of local history for the Star News. You can find that group by searching Cape Fear Unearthed on Facebook. And don't forget to sign up for the Cape Fear Unearthed newsletter that goes out every Thursday. Sign up at starnewsonline.com/newsletters. Cape Fear Unearthed was written, edited, and hosted by yours truly, John Staten. You can find more of my work at starnewsonline.com. Additional editing by Adam Fish. This podcast was made possible by listeners and readers like you. Support local journalism and Cape Fear Unearthed by subscribing to the Star News today. starnewsonline.com/subscribe. And while you're subscribing to things, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream this show, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review, which will help more people find Cape Fear Unearthed. Till then, get out and explore the Cape Fear region on your own. You never know what you might unearth.